Welcome to the Wine About History podcast. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me, as always, is...
Patty. Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Yeah, sorry for the hiatus. We got... One of us got sick, then the other got sick, then one of us started a new job. So it was a perfect storm. But thanks, you guys, for tuning in once again. So today, we're talking about Area 51. I don't know you, but I, for one, am loving all these memes.
Well, if anyone's been on Facebook lately or any kind of social media, you've probably seen that hundreds of thousands of people, is that right?
Or 1 million.
1 million now. People are going to storm Area 51 and see them aliens. They're all in. And the government has said, we will defend Area 51. We really don't recommend you guys doing that. And by defend it, they mean with deadly force. So
my personal advisement would be, don't go.
Maybe don't do it.
Maybe like put up, if you do go, hold a white flag and get a special t-shirt that says, I'm just here to watch.
Please don't shoot me. So anyway, this got us interested in Area 51 and its history. Like, what is it? Why is it so secretive? What's the government doing there? Is it any of our business? Are there aliens there? Are they reverse engineering spacecraft? What are they doing there? So we dug a little bit into the history. And quite simply, Area 51, if we're just going to put it simply, it's a military base in Nevada. I always thought it was in New Mexico, and I think that's because I have Roswell, New Mexico on my brain. I guess I didn't really realize it was in Nevada, but it is. And it's in a remote area, and it's highly secretive. And anytime you have something highly secretive, it's just going to lead to all kinds of speculation.
So I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. No, actually, that was a blatant lie. I am into conspiracy theories. I'm into every kind of theory. String theory, all of it. So the reason I know a little about this is because I've just picked it up over the years. But it's so protected and secretive that the government has cables on private property around the facility. So if you have property adjacent to Area 51, they put a cable on your land and say, don't touch that. And if you step on it, someone's going to come by and watch you. So what some people do is they'll drive over it and just wait. Drive away, drive back, and just wait, just to annoy the people there.
Just psych the government out. Max, we forgot the most important part of Wine About History. The wine! We were so excited about talking about Area 51, we just launched right into it.
I thought the most important part was me.
Well, it is you. Okay, the second, maybe third most important part is the wine that we're drinking.
I'm kidding, the dog's more important than me.
And tonight, just for a little tie into what we're talking about, the wine's called Jupiter.
Well, the problem is they have part of the
it's kind of obliterated wrong,
and they have a cursive. It says Halos de Jupiter.
Okay,
so it'd be halo in French. It'd be halos de Jupiter.
Yeah, because it is French wine. I didn't 91 points. So.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah,
Philip Cambi, a renowned oniologist. I'm going to go look up what oniologist means.
Could mean winemaker.
Could be winemaker. And, well, no, because he falls with renowned oniologist and winemaker, Michel Gassier, explored the variety of Grenache expressions on the unique terroirs of southern Rhone Valley, where the Rhone rivers meet, and the Mediterranean. Okay, I'm going to try and fight this. High school French, don't fail me now. Costières de Nîmes, proximity to the sea confers freshness and elegance. Mm. Enjoy this crowd pleaser with a spicy Mediterranean or Asian fare, as well as grilled veggies. So it's 80% Grenache and 20% Syrah. And you know what? I like it.
I think it's great. I haven't had a red wine in a while.
I am a red wine fiend.
Yeah, I'm digging the reds right now. And I think it's a little bit better for you to drink red wine.
Oh, you were right. So an oniologist is the science and study of wine and winemaking. Distinct from viticulture, the agriculture's endeavors of vine and growing and grape harvesting.
See, you just learned so much on this podcast. You do learn so much. It's just a fountain of knowledge. You can,
and all you winers out there can call yourself amateur oenologist and impress your friends.
There you go. It is. It's kind of. It's like a rich kind of tasting wine.
New shirt for us. Amateur oenologist.
Sure. Yeah, we can have a t-shirt made that says that.
Or not.
And everyone would be like, what do you mean? But anyway, so what do you think of the wine? You said you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's like rich tasting. Like I taste so much mm-hmm. when I drink it. So many,
there's
like...
There's definitely, I taste a citrus sour note.
Do you? That could be. I'm getting berries and... Mm-hmm. It is fruit forward, I would say. Well, anyway.
This is as fruitful as a smoothie, and I mean that as a compliment.
It's like a wine smoothie. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that would be good.
No pepper, which is rare. A lot of French wines have a pepper.
Yeah, you're right.
Their pepper. Like they just dump a box in.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans, they like this. They like too many condiments.
Yes, just good minerality there in that wine. Anyway, back to Area 51.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Area 51. I know I got kind of carried away with that wine because it really is pretty good. But anyway, because, you know, alien...
They spend us money. So, we do this for free.
The aliens are probably from Jupiter, which is why we got the Jupiter wine. Okay, they're probably not from Jupiter, and there might not even be aliens
there's
there.
There's
no
but life anyway. On Jupiter. If there is, it's probably very interesting looking.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Area 51, little history about it. They're actually, it started out as a mine, a silver and lead mine. And I think they mined kind of up to World War One. Then they took a little break and maybe did some more mining there after World War Two, which is, it wasn't hugely important, but the area is called Groom Lake and it's like a salt flat. Anyway, it's perfect for landing airplanes, apparently. And during the Cold War era, and I am a child of the Cold War, and if anybody else is, you know, it was kind of a freaky time. And we just didn't know what was happening with Russia, and we knew they were trying to spy on us, and we were trying to spy on them. And we developed a plane, or I think Lockheed developed a plane called the U-2, which could fly really, really high. And we know that they were testing this U-2 plane.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Was it, did Bono fly it?
I don't think Bono flew it.
Okay.
No. Because he probably would have been a little baby at the time. Or not even born yet.
Yeah.
No, but they did. So they did a lot of tests. Flying out there. Anyway, so this was this plane they wanted to keep super secret. So it makes sense that they would take it to the middle of nowhere and fly it and test it and et cetera, et cetera. And they've also tested other aircraft there and God knows what. We don't know because
there are theories.
There are lots of theories. Because the CIA didn't really even acknowledge Area 51 until 2013. So when you've got a place that's super remote, super secretive, nobody's getting in there. Even like regular military couldn't get in there. Only like super special classified military could get in there. It is guarded more than Fort Knox.
Is that a technical term? Super duper military?
Yeah, yeah. They know who they are.
I know they are.
So it's like if you've ever had a secret. Have you ever had a secret when someone said, like, you absolutely can't tell this to anybody? And so you don't. You keep it secret. But then other people kind of wonder what's going on. And they're way off. Like they might go, okay, so let's just say, you know, Bob comes up to you and tells you, don't tell anybody, but, you know, I have to have toe surgery, so I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. But don't tell anybody. Mm. And so all these people are coming, what's going on with Bob? Is, you know, did he do this? Did he do that? Da, 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 da. And, you know, they're way off base. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell because Bob asked you not to. I think it might be kind of like this. Because the government really can't tell us what's going on, people's imagination goes crazy.
Yeah, if it's a real secret, if they're testing secret military planes out there, That's something our enemies cannot know about, because if it comes to conflict, it could change a war.
Absolutely.
It could end a war.
All that stuff, yeah. So, Max, I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah?
Are there dead aliens at Area 51? Are they reverse engineering a spaceship that crashed?
Okay, so prepare for a rant, everybody. I do not believe that there are aliens at Area 51.
What?
No. So here's what I think. Mathematically, in the massiveness of the universe, there are probably aliens. They're probably flatworms on Alpha Centauri. You know, they're probably bugs a million miles away. They are not little green men from Mars. So that's what I believe. And I was listening to an interview with writer Annie Jacobson. Don't know how to pronounce
Jacobson?
That. Jacobson. I'm from the Midwest. I should know this. Scandinavian. I should know all the sun names. And she said that the aliens were surgically... They were human beings who had plastic surgery to look more like aliens. And they were mentally ill people that the government took advantage of. And this was part of a Cold War propaganda thing to make Stalin think and the communists think we had made contact with aliens.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow.
I mean, people do some messed up stuff when they're at war, even a Cold War. And there's something else called the Nazi Bell, which may have started all this. So I was bored one day, I was watching a documentary, and they brought up that Nazi, you know, because they had all these scientists and no morals. The Nazis did whatever they wanted. And there's a record of this something called the Nazi Bell. And it was allegedly a flying device that looked kind of like a bell, kind of like a UFO. And what a lot of people think is during Operation Paperclip, look at that up. Ugh, it's a big mess. What happened was the CIA went in, grabbed a bunch of Nazi scientists, many of whom, I think Hans Freiber was one of them. He's the head of NASA for a long time. And he was like a hardcore Nazi. So keep that in mind. The head of NASA was a hardcore Nazi, and there's the connection to the Nazi Bell, which looks kind of like a UFO. So a lot of people think we went in, grabbed them, they made the Nazi Bell for us, we changed it, made it look like a UFO, flew it around, that's what people saw.
Hmm.
So that's my opinion on that. There are flatworms in Alpha Centauri, not little green men from Mars. And if there is reverse engineered technology there, it's probably Nazi technology. That we've been, because those guys had brilliant scientists, no morals. When that happens, you can do whatever you want. They weren't constrained by our morals or our rules.
All right. Well, this brings me to Roswell, New Mexico.
Bum bum bum.
And this is why I always thought Area 51 was in New Mexico, because I didn't do my research and didn't really know. But Roswell is in New Mexico. And in 1947, the U.S. says an Army Air Force weather balloon crashed there. There's some stories out there that says the military first said a flying saucer crashed, and then the next day they're like, oh, no, it's a weather balloon. So there's that. But anyway, so this guy is walking the field, sees all this debris and collects the debris. And next thing you know, the military's out there. We'll just clean this up. So
sounds like me when I've been caught doing something wrong.
So some eyewitnesses said it looked like a flying saucer. Some people even claim they saw dead aliens there before they were whisked away. And so people believe that stuff was brought to Area 51, and that's where they're doing all their experiments and their reverse engineering. And let's face it, there have been some credible eyewitness accounts of UFOs, which is just an unidentified flying object. Doesn't mean it's from outer space. It just means no one's sure what it is.
So who wants to hear my plucky rebuttal?
Go for it.
Okay, so another interview that I was watching when I was bored was a old Austrian scientist talking about Carl Jung. For those of you who don't know Carl Jung, he's one of the greatest men to ever live. He was one of the he helped found and solidify psychology as a science. He believed that people were seeing UFOs because they had lost faith in humanity and fantasy and were turning to science after World War II. In fact, you see a massive explosion in science fiction in after World War II, you know, 50s, 60s. You see a huge explosion in this. And I believe that was the same sort of cultural unconscious thing that was going on. People don't just see the disc, by the way. They see cigars, they see glowing lights. In fact, there's a very interesting video of the Mexican Air Force pilot being surrounded by these lights. Some people think those lights are actually the ghosts of dead pilots, guiding pilots. I don't know. We're getting, you know, next thing you know, I'm going to be talking about ghost aliens. Let's not go there.
There's not just aliens. There's ghost aliens also.
Ghost aliens. Sounds like a Lovecraft poem.
It does. That sounds very Lovecraftian.
In fact, I think he wrote about ghost aliens.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. So anyway, yeah. So who knows? Who can explain? A lot of this stuff just... We don't have an explanation for it yet. But I will say, I read some of these reports, and I've seen some shows on TV that afterwards I'm like, oh my gosh, these people sound so credible. They're not lying. They've taken lie detector tests. They're not crazy. They've passed psych exams. And they're telling us what they saw just cannot be explained by any kind of aircraft that we know of. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll never know. But I think for now, it's pretty safe to say that Area 51 really is just an area where they test secret aircraft that other countries and the general public can't know about. But it's also kind of cool to think that there might be some other crazy stuff going on there, too. But what's the date that everyone's going to storm it?
The 20th. And
That's coming right up. It's a couple days.
So for those of you who don't know, it's July 17th right now. They're going to storm it July 20th. Don't. Again, run up a white flag. For those of you who don't know what a white flag means, a white flag is a sign of military surrender. Not everyone knows common terms anymore.
Well, there are signs around Area 51 that say, if you go any further, we'll use deadly force. And I believe they mean it.
Yeah, well, they have to. I mean, there's Russia again. There's, you know, other enemies like those Canadian people.
Max.
I'm kidding.
A few sips of wine and he's throwing the Canadians under the bus.
Let me get my soapbox. Here's what's wrong with those Canadians.
There's nothing wrong with Canadians.
I live near them. They're wonderfully polite, pleasant people.
All right, well, I think that's really all I had. I didn't, you know, don't have a ton of information on Area 51 because it's so secret. And
another interview. This is why I got my information, is they had the stereotypical, you know, person's just a silhouette or their voice is distorted interview. And here's what he said. He said, this is just a Air Force testing base and a good... stealth bomber can change a war. A good. It can learn information. That's why everyone's thing's so secret, because they consider lives to be on the line.
Yeah, I believe that.
So, yeah.
There you go. But if anyone does survive the storming, will you let us know? Let us know what you saw there. Any shriveled dead aliens or anything like that?
I just imagine there's just so many bored people. They rush in. And then rush out going, it was really boring. It was just engines and stuff.
It was just some airplanes.
Timmy got shot over a helicopter.
Although here's another fact. There is a lot of, like, literally underground stuff down there. They do a lot of the work underground, literally. So, you know, if anyone should happen to, you know, fly over that restricted airspace that's above it.
They get shot down.
And they don't get shot down. If they were to get a picture, all they'd see is, you know, ground in that, you know, scientific plans or anything like that.
You know, I think so. According to the Navy SEAL Robert O'Neill, the planes he used, I think they were a type of heliplane that they used to take out Osama bin Laden, because they were brought in on these heliplanes, then taken out, were tested Area 51.
I believe that, yeah.
And he even couldn't talk about them in his biography because they're still kind of secret.
Yeah, during the Cold War, American military was able to get their hands on some MiGs, which were Russian planes. One guy just, I think he was Iraqi, he was told to, you know, bomb napalm on some fellow Iraqis, and he was like, no, not going to do it. And he flew to Israel. Mm-hmm. And Israel got the MiG for us, and they brought it to Area 51, and it was tested there. And then I think these guys might have been Iraqi as well, got lost. And oops, ended up in Israel. I think I want to say it was Israel. So we got those MiGs and brought them in. And, you know, that was probably really important research during the Cold War, to have that technology and what the Russians were capable of.
Politics makes for strange bedfellows.
It does. It really does.
Imagine,
yeah.
Like, you know, 50 years from now, 50 years in the past, it was Russians, Iraqis, Israeli, Americans. And 50 years from now, those alliances and cultures are still butting heads a little bit.
Yeah, they are. I guess back in during the Cold War, the Russians were referred to as Soviets, because it was the Soviet Union then. But anyway, I guess, will that do it for us?
Of course
it will. Episode?
So again, do not storm Area 51.
Bad idea.
Yeah, it's a bad idea, and the memes aren't worth it, folks.
It's not worth it. Your life isn't worth it.
All you're going to see is some boring engine parts, because I'm sure if there are aliens, they keep them so well guarded, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, and even if you were to get past security, you probably need a retinal scan to get by much else, so yeah. Hopefully it's just like a fun
joke. That would be so depressing. To have like a well-timed attack, like you've been working on it for weeks, and then you finally make it past, 200 armed soldiers, and then you get there, and it's just shut, and there's no way in.
And you're probably trapped.
You're trapped. You're losing,
Yeah. I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, that's... So, again, don't do it. All right, so... thank you, everyone, for listening. And thanks again for understanding our hiatus. We're people too. And we'll be back very soon with some more interesting history. So have a great time. And remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here.
Have a great time.